It's time for Jason Wilde on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
Everybody needs information about the Packers every day of the year from Jason Wilde. All you have to go is WisconsinOnDemand.com. Hit the Wilde button and you got not as much as you need, but there's enough there. Good afternoon, Jason.
Hello, Goat. How are you today?
I am good. I've stated the concern about place kicking is over for the Green Bay Packers. He could even miss the next two. Doesn't matter. They got a veteran and probably the best kicker available. None of the reason it was available is because of off-the-field stuff. But I think the debate, the discussion for place kickers is over for the Green Bay Packers. Will you join my club?
Yeah, I mean, I won't say it's 100% over, but I certainly would expect it to be over. I mean, the whole idea is you get a guy who's kicked in a Super Bowl, a guy who's been in the league for over a decade, and while he's not going to make every kick, your hope would be that he would be much more consistent than the two rookies you've had back-to-back who've won your kicking job. So, yeah, I mean, look, the fact of the matter is, and Brian Gutekunst, to his credit, was very upfront and honest about this. He flat out said, and I quote, obviously he wouldn't be available right now if those accusations weren't out there regarding his behavior on a Jaguars charter flight to London last season. So, you know, he's a guy who signed a one-year, $3.6 million deal with the Commanders in the spring. And then the Commanders cut him when the lawsuit was filed. The guy's good enough to kick in this league and has done it for a decade. So they got a guy, although maybe with some baggage, that should be able to do the job and do it consistently. He's made 81.4% of his field goal attempts for his career. I would say that that's significantly more than Braden Narveson, who even with the one that didn't count in Nashville, still was only making 70.6% of his kicks so far through six games.
And he kicked in Denver, which I think is a huge plus.
Well, he certainly kicked in weather. He also kicked in thin air, which is obviously a benefit. I'll say this, the one criticism I would have from a kicking perspective is his 50-yard accuracy. He's 45 of 82 for his career. That's 54.9%. You would certainly like to have that number a little bit higher, over 60 at minimum.
Yes, the younger kickers are better than he is.
Yeah, I would agree.
At his time, that was probably pretty good, and now it's – and I will admit I was wrong. I said there'd be a 70-yard kick, and I don't think that's going to happen for the Packers this year. That's pretty much over. All right, now that we can move on. What's next? What's the top of your list? You know I love to ask that question.
Yeah, I know you do. It's because it's such an easy question for you to ask and then step out of the way. Look, I would say, for me anyway, the thing I'm most intrigued by is this offensive line going to be able to hold up? Because Matt LaFleur had a great line after the game on Sunday about how Jordan Love had enough time to bake a pizza back there, and they do not anticipate that being the case against this group. So even though they had one of their pass rushers suspended earlier in the week, this is going to be a big challenge. And, you know, Josh Myers is on the injury report because of a stinger that he sustained in the game on Sunday. So he's obviously a pretty important piece for them. Elton Jenkins did not practice. You know, he's been playing with a knee injury. I'm sure he will play, but he's not going
to
have.
He has to play, right? I mean,
they can't live without him.
Nope.
You know, and he was the one who obviously shifted to center when Josh Myers was injured. And so, again, whether or not they can hold up against the pretty, you know, quick, aggressive front, is going to be key, because Jordan Love, as you saw, picked the Cardinals apart on Sunday, and he may not have nearly the amount of time that he had. So to me, that protection group is, if not at the top of the list, close to the top of the list.
And can I then assume that an issue is depth in the offensive line? I don't know how many.
They're rotating Sean Ryan and Jordan Morgan. So I think the feeling is that they've got six starters.
All right.
So I don't think they're concerned about that. But, you know, you want your guys to be at full strength, and obviously Elton is not at full strength, and neither will Josh be. But I don't see those guys not playing. I fully expect them to play.
Now, I think the discussion I remember when I was on with Wilde and Tausch, and I was going to call Tausch five-star because on the post-game show we discussed where Josh Jacobs was. I know we got into stars, and I asked him how many he was in high school, and he said probably none. So now maybe he can't say stars. Maybe he should be a five gold. I don't know. Whereas what's important is not what you got out of high school. Anyway, you talked about the story you're doing on Evan Williams. Am I right there?
Yep. Evan Williams, who, you know, again, I don't know if we'll manage to get Micah Hyde on the show tomorrow. I'm hoping he has time, but
we need to learn more about him because he's good, and he's going to play for the Green Bay Packers for a number of years.
Yeah, the fact that he's forced his way onto the field tells you, because the easy thing is to play him on special teams, play Javon Bullard at safety, play Keyshawn Nixon in the slot, not move him outside, you know, use the other pieces that you have in the secondary. But they had no choice but to play Evan Williams. He had way too good of a training camp. They didn't play him in the opener, and Matt LaFleur admitted that was a mistake.
What's his best skill?
I think he's just always around the ball. He's got an interception. He forced a fumble. You know, you saw him punch out the fumble on Sunday against the Cardinals. I mean, he's just, you know, like Micah Hyde, he's just a football player, and that's the highest compliment you can give someone.
I have him as like a twin to Edgerrin Cooper, like two young players, same draft, and they just have to play because they're that good already. Am I overselling one, or does that work for you?
No, I think, you know, Edgerrin Cooper isn't quite as far along as Evan Williams is. Evan Williams played throughout training camp. Edgerrin Cooper, he had a hip, he had an ankle, he had a knee. He missed a bunch of training camp. You've seen instances where he's lined up in the wrong spot and made, you know, pretty glaring mistakes when they have played him, but they're willing to live with those because of how talented they think he is. Evan Williams doesn't make those kind of mistakes. He's just such a mature veteran player that I just think that, you know, he came into the league. His brother plays in the league. He spent 4 years at Fresno State before his 1 year at Oregon, so he's a little bit older than your typical rookie. You know, Lucas Van Ness came into the league as a 20-year-old. Evan Williams came into the league as a 23-plus-year-old. So he just was able to hit the ground running. And even though they drafted Javon Bullard in the second round, even though they liked Javon Bullard, and he was drafted two rounds ahead of Evan Williams, Evan Williams has said, you know, with his play, hey, doesn't matter where you drafted that guy. Like, I need to play. And the Packers have agreed with the statement his play has made.
On Wednesday, everybody talks. Anybody say anything of note that you want to pass along?
Well, we always talk to Jordan Love. He likes the white helmets. I got to be honest, I hadn't thought of this until we started talking about it. But I know Rodgers used to always talk about, you know, the game is moving so fast, you see flashes of color. You don't necessarily see guys the way, you know, maybe we would and when we're watching the game on television. And he said he wasn't concerned at all about, you know, wearing white helmets. The Packers have never worn white helmets, or at least not in the modern era.
Why are they actually wearing this new costume?
Because we're selling merch.
Okay.
Because it's cool. It's
no,
fun.
They're costumes. I try to tell people they no longer wear uniforms. They wear costumes. So you can have 100 different costumes for your team.
It's the way sports are now, right? I mean, Oregon, of all places, is the king of that. So again, I just was curious from a football perspective, having heard Rodgers talk about that back in the day, if this influences that at all. And he said no. He just has to remember that he plays for the white team. So as long as he does that. But, you know, there, I'll say this, there was no mention really of Romeo Doubs at all,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, I would argue from a reporter's perspective, there was no reason to ask about him today, but I still, you know, firmly believe that there's still a process to be completed there in terms of his teammates fully figuring out where he's at and not worrying about him and whatever else. But no, I'm glad for their sake that he was productive, that the team embraced him the way they did, because it certainly made it a lot easier to move forward on that.
All right, what's best? This is your opinion or what the coaches or players. What's best about this Houston team at the top of a list of all the things they do well? I'm concerned about their ability to run the ball more than the pass rush. They had two runners with over 50-yard runs.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, Mixon's still a really good player, right? I mean, we all would recognize that. I would say that, you know, from a defensive perspective, since you chose their running game, you know, this is a really, really good defense. They are, hold on, let me get their ranking.
So you would start with their defense above their offense, which is different than I did in terms
from a defensive perspective, where's the points per game? Here it is. They're not great statistically, in terms of scoring defense. They're giving up 22.5 points per game, which
behind the Packers
is lower than the Packers, mm-hmm. who are at 20.2. But from a, you know, yardage standpoint, they're third in the league. They're better against the pass than they are against the run. They have a really good pass rush, obviously. They're fourth in the league in sack per pass attempt, which is kind of a more telling statistic than just total sacks, because as we know from the Packers, they had 8 sacks in that Tennessee game, and it kind of skews the statistical view of them as opposed to what we've seen on the field from them in terms of pressure. So yeah, they're a good defense, but you know, the Vikings beat them. So it's not like they're coming in here. This isn't the 85 Bears coming in here. So it's going to be a really good game. I think it's going to be a really good measuring stick game for figuring out, okay, you know, I was among the people that were like, well, I don't think Arizona's very good. And they certainly didn't look very good on Sunday. And maybe the Packers had something to do with that, but this is a game where you won't hear me say, well, the Texans aren't very good if the Packers beat them by 2 touchdowns.
It will make you think that much more of the Packers.
It will, no doubt about it, and rightfully so. I mean, look, as we've kind of said, this is a group that, if you look at what they've got coming up on the schedule and how they're playing right now on both sides of the ball, they're in a really good spot. Like, they feel like they're really ascending at the moment, and I think that's really encouraging that they're in position to, as Josh Myers put it, pop. I think they're on the verge of doing that.
And lastly, any injuries to be concerned about?
Yeah, I mean, I think Myers will play. I would be surprised if he didn't, but it's obviously not ideal when you're going up against a pretty good front. You know, Devontae Wyatt didn't practice today, so this would potentially be his third straight game that he misses if they don't have him back. If he misses 4, then they could have put him on injured reserve, and they didn't do that. So I would think that the expectation is that if he's not able to go, he'll be able to play in Jacksonville a week from now. But, no, they had 2 wide receivers on the injury report, both Jaden Reed and Dontavion Wicks, but Wicks couldn't finish the game with the shoulder injury he suffered against the Cardinals, but he was able to take limited reps today, so that's a very encouraging sign for a guy that we thought maybe would be sidelined.
Thanks, Jason.
All right, Homer, take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde, all Packers all the time. You go to WisconsinOnDemand.com, hit Wilde, and you'll get everything you need to know about the Green Bay Packers. Tim Van Voren, not next, but soon.